minutes, 25 seconds. 20 seconds and counting. T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal. 12, 11, 10, 9. Ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour.
And as Apollo 11 does its roll program, this podcast now does its roll program. The tape is rolling. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. My name is Grant Cameron, and you're listening to the Paranormal UFO Consciousness Podcast. Thank you for taking time from your life to be here. Welcome to another edition of the Paranormal UFO Consciousness Podcast. Today we do a second episode on the blindfold. In this one, we interview a young gentleman by the name of Seth, 13-year-old boy from Australia. We also interview his father, Jai, and his grandmother, Leonie. And Leonie was the one that actually trained him for the last four years on a blindfold modality. This will appear later on my YouTube page. You can actually watch it. In this interview, we talk to Seth. We look at his blindfold. He shows us, describes to us how he was able to drive a car, some of the things that he was able to do in terms of playing video games. With the blindfold on, we sort of get into how people think this works. I'm joined in the broadcast by Wendy Gallant, who is a trainer of children in Ontario and also practiced the technique herself. And in the interview, you will see Seth is given a number of targets by Wendy on the screen from Canada. And while he's waiting, an interesting thing happens is that Wendy goes to get the material, and I ask Seth, I say, can you actually see me on the screen? And he says yes, he's got his blindfold on. And at that moment, I don't say anything. I just start waving and sticking my tongue out at him, and he starts to laugh, which indicated quite strongly to me that he saw exactly what I had done. So I asked after the broadcast whether he had known, and yes, he had seen what I was doing. He got every single target correct, including reading from a book. They had maybe a 200-page book, and Wendy picked the page that he would read, and he read with no errors. So it was a very impressive interview. We are scheduling another interview to do with Seth, some other things that we want him to sort of demonstrate on camera. Very interesting interview. I hope you enjoy it. This modality, I believe, is extremely connected to UFOs, and that if we can figure out how this ability to see without eyes works, I think we're going to go a long way to explaining not only UFOs, but how reality works. This has been trained all over the world. There's piles and piles of trainers. There are blind people who are being trained. This is getting to be pretty big. The Ions Institute is now looking at it, and a reporter from one of the major world newspapers is now looking at this. So this is just taking off, but Seth is the first sort of young person. Young people can do this much easier than old people. This is sort of the first time we've ever had one of these young kids go on camera to explain exactly how this works. So enjoy the episode, and we will do an episode down the road with Seth and some very spectacular things that we've sort of requested that he do with the blindfold on. Thank you. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world. We'll be right back. Okay, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. This is Grant Cameron. It's evening here, but I have some guests from the morning time in Australia, and I'm pretty excited to do this broadcast. As people know that I have been working on the blindfold, people who have been trained to see through a blindfold, and also I understand hearing is involved in this. And I was very excited about it because as soon as I saw this phenomena, I realized this is similar to people who have near-death experiences, who have their eyes taped shut in the in an operation and they can suddenly see. And I said, this is potentially the most significant thing I've ever seen. And I went around the world and I tried to interview as many of the trainers around the world as I could. And in doing that, I realized that this was sort of a bigger story than I thought it was. I recently learned that a number of major players are starting to get involved in this game. And so what we're going to be discussing tonight is something that is starting to catch on. Eventually, this will be verified and proved. And I think it is still the most significant thing I've ever seen. So my guest tonight, we have my assistant, Sinead Wellahan, is in Toronto. And apparently there actually is an actual fire in her apartment. She's standing outside. So when she comes back into the apartment, she will join us and she will have some questions because she did a lot of the interviews with me on this subject and she's very interested in the subject. So there's Sinead, and then I have Wendy Gallant, who is one of the people in Canada who I met her through other circumstances, through Rob Freeman. She is someone who has worked on the blindfold, has worked and trained on the blindfold through, I think, three different trainers. Her and Rob Freeman work on this, and she's also doing some training herself. So, Wendy Gallant, welcome to the show tonight, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much. Yes.
Beautiful. I'm glad to have you on the inside, and you're the one that set up the interview. So maybe you can introduce Leone and Seth to us, and G, who is the son, and how you met them, and go through that part of the story about how this thing all started for all the people that are on the show tonight.
Okay, well, about 3 years ago, wasn't it, Leone, that we met? And it was actually when we met at Rob Freeman's. And Michaela Estrada came over and was doing a training course. And that's where Leone and I met in London, Ontario. And so we did the training together and we've kept in touch ever since. And I've been keeping an eye on all the training that she's doing because she's training mostly kids and mostly her grandson and Steph and Layla, her granddaughter. And she's been giving me reports about how well they're doing and just blows my mind what those kids are doing. It really does. It's really difficult for adults to do this as well. We have a battle with our left brain getting involved and shutting it all off, but the kids like Seth can just do it. So Leone and I had a training session and she opened right up on that training session. And she, at the end of it, it was funny because she says, I'm going to go out and drive the car. And we laughed about it and she was going to do that. And then the next call we had, what was it, about a week later, she said, well, I'm not going to do it. Seth is going to do it. And so out they went. And the next thing I know, I get this video of Seth driving the car. And I was pretty excited about it, actually, and blown away. And so I posted it and everything. And I said, Grant's got to see this. I got to send it to Grant. So I sent it to Grant and said, you know, I said, Seth is watching all of this. And he's watching for all the people to, you know, the subscribers and all that. And I said, Grant will get it out there and the subscriber count will get up. And that's where it all started. And so then now here he is on screen.
Beautiful. Good evening. Good evening, Leone and Seth. Welcome and thank you for stepping up and being sort of the first. I think you may be one of the first kids who's doing this that's actually on record. I mean, there's some kids have sort of been interviewed while they've been training, but you're actually sort of the first one. So I'm glad you're stepping forward and we'll do whatever we can to sort of protect you. Yeah. Can you introduce your father and your snake for us?
What's his name, and Steph?
What's her name?
Her name's Rosa.
How old is she?
And she's about a month old.
Wow.
And how big does she get again?
9 foot.
9 foot long? As thick as your leg?
Yep.
And what do you feed it?
Oh, at the moment I'm feeding them baby mice, and soon I'll be feeding them baby chickens.
Yeah, you get a chicken farm there going as well then too.
Yeah, we've got a few on the go.
They've always been fascinated with reptiles from when they were tiny. Lizards, snakes, from when they were tiny, they'd be walking around with snakes draped all over them. No fear. Complete connection. And on a sort of sentient way, they connect with the animals anyway. So they energetically, they're reading the animal and navigating the animal. So they trust that. We trust that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw and Seth like did I said, a video. Seth did a video on this, right, about communicating with animals. Can you talk a little bit about that, Seth?
That was when you were younger and you were talking to the lady at the market with the bird.
Oh, yeah, the parrot. Yeah, when I talk to animals, it's like you're saying the words in your head.
Yeah.
And saying the words in your head and it, like, they respond to you as, like, you ask them to, like, stand on your hand and they'll just do it.
That's fascinating. Wow.
Does the training with the blindfold help in doing that?
Well, not necessarily.
No.
I have to say, because as for like the most of the family here, we're sensitive anyway, and we have stuff going on all sorts of levels anyway. And we're on the spectrum, all the family's on the spectrum, so we have a hypersensitivity. With the work that I do with the blindfold work, it's not to increase that sensitivity because it's kind of over the top anyway.
Yeah.
It's to discipline that sensitivity and reel it in a bit. Because their audio, like their hearing, is off the charts.
Can you talk a little bit about the hearing? Because as you'll see when Sinead comes in, Sinead is profoundly deaf. She has cochlear implants, but she really can't hear. So I've always talked about this. Talk about the hearing thing, about what people can hear and how good does the hearing actually get?
I think it's individualized. And I notice even with the kids, and I've only had a handful of other kids that I'm teaching all on the spectrum. I get all the spectrum kids. I think it's individualized to the person and where they focus their intent. So because I'm only working with children, I'm guiding them. But I think as you get older and you're very aware of focus, I think if you're intending to increase your hearing, that's where your intention goes.
Okay.
With this sight work, it does amplify that area. And the kids that I'm teaching, they take it, and I've been teaching one particular family for quite a few months now, and we go into psychokinesis and all sorts of things. Wow. But I know that if they're happy to go to a certain point, that's where they stay. So if you're, it's up to you how far you want to take it, basically, to me.
Okay.
It's the intention behind it. Yeah.
Okay. So, have you got your blindfold there, Seth?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's show people the blindfold. Let's explain to people who may be new to this, because everybody's going to say you're peeking out the side of the blindfold. You know that, eh?
Yeah.
Even bandages.
Okay. Explain that with the bandages, because people will say, even though they'll say the blind people are peeking too.
Exactly.
I know. You'll never convince everybody, Grash.
So show us the inside of the blindfold so we can see how this thing works. Okay, so there's really no way you can actually see out the side. Your eyes are in the inside of it.
Yes, you've got to remember that your eyes nesting inside that cavity.
Yeah.
So you've got this seam, this here, and this. So this two. There's not just this here.
Yeah.
So that's, you've got a double barrier there.
Yeah.
And you use the bandages. Can you explain that to people that don't know about that?
Oh, that's just to convince other people. And sometimes the kids, because the kids, like I think Wendy and Rob have mentioned with Danny, because when they do see, it's like real-time seeing.
Yes,
they see like 3D. They see the way we do.
Mm-hmm.
And two, it varies. It changes around, doesn't
it? Yeah.
So it does alter itself at times. But so with the children, a couple of the kids that I've taught, by the time they've done their third or fourth session, they say, I have to say this, I think I'm cheating. So then I put the bandages on and the blindfold on and say, now tell me that you're still cheating. And then that's confirmation from them that they're not cheating. It's because they can see so well, they don't even trust their own input.
Yeah.
So you have to prove it to them. And occasionally we do this demonstration for other people because, of course, there's doubt there. And I've had it.
I know.
We've all been there. So you're questioning what you're watching.
Yeah, I did that once. I put the patches and the blindfold in on and did a quick session. And the comments on below were like, oh, well, I see the mask has moved. I see, you know, like, it doesn't matter what you do in some cases.
No, you're not going to convince everybody until they've had the experience themselves.
Yeah.
That's kind of healthy. That's kind of healthy anyway.
Yeah.
Now, go ahead.
Do you want him to put the eye patches on or just do the mask?
I don't know. Let's whatever you want to do. I mean,
what do you want to do? Just use the mask?
Yeah, I'll just do the mask and do colors or something.
Okay, we've got little things in the black box jar.
Oh, good.
I actually have a very cool video of him with a buddy of his, and they both have masks on, and he had a knife. They were playing and he had a knife and he was going through each finger, like he's going through each finger with the knife this. And then he handed the knife to his buddy and his buddy tried to do the same thing. And at the very end, his buddy's like hanging on to a finger because he couldn't do it.
Yeah. That's good. I wasn't influencing that.
That's an impressive video. We should put that video on. That's pretty impressive video.
It's very impressive.
So let me ask before we do the little trial, Leonie, how long does it take for a child to pick up on, say, colors? And can all kids do the reading thing where they can actually read a book and stuff like that? Or does that take development?
It varies. It varies. Most children pick it up within minutes.
Wow.
And initially they'll pick it up really easily. And then the left brain steps in and then there's doubt coming in. So then it diminishes a little. And then it'll step it up, and it's all about training and motivating and making them realize that it's actually happening. It's happening, you know, just confirming it for them and just supporting them and getting them to realize that this process is real. And sometimes it'll step back a bit and then you'll sort of work with them a little more, and eventually they'll become quite adept at it, and they'll all open different areas, like Wendy and Rob said too, some down here, some here, some here, up here. They're just something they've got to get used to. It's something they've got to get used to doing.
And once they get used to it, it becomes natural. Isn't that right?
It becomes so natural that it's boring, hey? And what's all the fuss about everybody?
it's just a natural thing for Seth now, isn't it?
Yeah. And like, do we have to do the training?
But now you're a famous star around the world. Everybody knows who you are. So now you got to train.
Yeah.
Because everybody's going to be challenging you now. You're the I call you the Australian blindfold boy. Everybody knows who you are now.
Well, he used to be known as the Australian barefoot didge boy. Yeah. Now he has a new title.
Yeah. Well, I'm honored to meet you and to talk to you. Yeah. Let me ask, you mentioned you were doing the driving. Who was in the back seat was all panicky when you were driving the car? Who's making the noise back there? Is that your sister?
Yeah.
I told her she had to navigate.
Yeah, Layla's very loud.
She's sounding pretty scared there. And you mentioned when you were driving the car, you said, what's this thing about depth perception? You're saying that you can't see depth perception? What are you referring to by that, with how far the trees are away? Or explain to people what you're actually seeing when you're going along. Are you seeing like one eye? Are you seeing it out of one side? Or explain to people what's going on when you're whatever you're doing, whether you're doing video game or driving the car, so that people can understand what you're actually seeing.
Well, I'm seeing like, it's like a tunnel, sort of, okay, out of like a 5-10 cent piece.
Okay.
And it's like blurry around the outsides of it. And when I have the mask on too long and it just gets all wavy and you can't tell if a tree's right there or like really far away from you.
Okay.
It takes a lot of energy to do this, and there's a certain amount of time that they're comfortable in that space.
Okay. And can you do it right away? Can you, as soon as you put the mask on, will it come, or do you have to sort of meditate or do something to get into the field?
Not really.
Well, sometimes I do have to warm up a little bit.
But you can switch it on and off. Like, he just switches it on and off. An example when you're playing with your friends. Yeah.
Seth's in a constant state of meditation.
Yeah, in a constant state of meditation. Yeah.
And you've been doing this since you're 9 years old, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, Wendy, you lead us through this. You test them.
Ah, test them. I think once he puts the mask on, you'll see everything, right? Won't you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, just to let you know, I actually bought one of these masks for Sinead. So when she doesn't want to train, I'm going to put her on with you and you're going to make her train.
Yeah. Well, that's the biggest challenge, is keeping people training. That's what we found. Yeah. Because they're very interested in it and stuff. But then it takes a lot of patience. So kids get it, though. But if they don't train, they'll lose it. Right, Leonie?
Yeah. And again, it depends on the kid. Seth doesn't do a great deal, and his sight's been really strong forever.
Wow.
Whereas I've noticed his sister, because she was main school schooling.
Yeah.
Because she was very into the left brain around all that, her sight diminished quite a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm having to build that up, and again now she's homeschooling, so getting her out of that left brain mode and getting her back into the that zone. But Seth, unlike all the other kids too, he's been pretty consistent. He's a natural. Yeah.
He's a natural.
And how much does he train a day?
He trains with me once a week. Always do it with doing fun stuff like driving cars and basketball and playing games, and just all they have to do is actually walk around the yard and navigate that way, just to keep it. It's like keeping that memory there, that this is what I can do. Yeah.
I think the last one I saw is you were doing a treasure hunt in your backyard, all the kids.
Oh, the kids, since they were little, I used to hide notes and I'd hide them under things. They'd still have to read the clues and go searching for the notes that weren't in an obvious place. They were hidden, so they had to find them, and they did it. Amazingly.
You mentioned that Seth has a YouTube channel. We can talk a little bit about that. But do you put some of this stuff, because it sounds pretty exciting. I mean, that's sort of, have you got some of that stuff on YouTube where you're showing these kids having the obstacle courses and games and stuff like that?
I could, but it's been under the radar for quite a while. And I was very protective of the grandkids anyway,
as
their parents wanted them to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They didn't want to exploit them. So it was more about, for me, I only started doing this because I wanted to empower them, because we're Spectrum. We have trouble dealing with the 3D world anyway, and I saw this as an empowering tool for them to navigate their reality, basically, and give them some sort of semblance of control, because it's when you're all Spectrum, it's you do have that overwhelming sense of being out of control because of the demands of society. So if there's that control there, and that's a tool they can use, that was the motivation around the whole process. So it was mainly about the grandchildren, and I've sort of broadened that into teaching other children now, because they've just presented to me, because they're having the same problems, they're hypersensitive, they're finding it hard to deal with society, all around that self-empowering stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And tell them who's referring children to you, Leonie.
Oh, Mary Rodwell.
Mary Rodwell.
Oh, wow, my friend Mary.
They're all experiences or contactees, all the kids that I've had. So there's layers to this.
Wow. Do you live near Mary?
Pardon?
Do you live near Mary?
About 3 hours away, John.
Okay.
Yeah.
About 3 hours away, but I've known Mary for 10 years because we've all had contact experiences as a family.
Oh.
So that's where that's come from. And she's been wanting to get these kids that have had the experiences in contact with each other so they can, again, give support to each other and have that open conversation that is taboo everywhere else.
Exactly.
You know, Seth would come running up to me and say, "Branny, I just saw a golden light thing in your house," you know.
Wow.
So
now we're going to have to do another interview down the road here. We're going to have to do another interview with this kind of stuff.
There's that element to it as well. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So let me ask, with Seth, when you have the blindfold on, can you actually see us?
Oh, yeah.
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 Put the blindfold on. Let's start here.
It's a newspaper on with really...
I'm gonna go get some sheets. He doesn't know what I'm going to get.
Oh, okay.
I'm under the colored sheets with him.
Okay.
I actually, in their practice, they actually read micro print upside down, something like this.
Upside down? Wow.
Upside down, they'll read that, but that's too small to demonstrate.
Wow.
Because they can magnify their vision as well.
So, Seth, you can see me? You can see me?
Is it open? Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you show Grant on the mask where you can see him?
I can see him there.
Okay. Over here, yeah.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Can you see what I put on the screen? A ace with hearts.
Excellent.
I'm impressed.
Okay,
keep going.
Can you see it?
A diamond 10.
Yes.
Wow.
Triangle.
What color is it?
Pink.
Yeah.
Nice and that, honey.
A red zigzag.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
A green half circle.
Yeah.
He can't see you now, Wendy.
Kenny?
Speak I have to stop. Yeah. Okay, I got to keep talking.
Yeah.
I got to keep talking.
People behind a green couch.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. Okay, there you go.
A red autumn leaf.
We call them autumn leaves.
Yeah. That's okay.
That's a Canadian. Yeah.
What's that?
A table with like a cat underneath it.
Uh-huh. And is there
I'm impressed.
What's on the table?
A bowl.
Uh-huh.
It's starting to get all wavy now.
It's starting to get getting a bit nervous. It's getting a bit wavy. It's probably the pressure. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Wow,
I know.
I'm impressed.
Okay. Well done, Seth. Well done.
I'm impressed. What do you like? Maybe I can ask everybody here. What do you think is actually going on? What's seeing? How does this work?
What did you say before to me?
Well, you know those like fisheye GoPros that like it's really close here and then it comes really far out.
Okay.
Fisheye lens.
Yeah. What is it? it's kind of like that, but then like after when I have the blindfold on for that long, that it gets really wavy and then blurry and
so accessing like through, obviously it's working through his consciousness sight. But if I had them outside and they were doing and interacting with a game or something like that, they can leave their blindfolds on. They could be seeing for an hour comfortably.
Yeah.
So this, this just doing now, because he's a little bit nervous, and it does affect it does affect the process because he's a little bit nervous.
Mm-hmm.
But you said before, how do you see? It's like jumping out of your body.
Oh, yeah. It's like your spirit is like popping out of your head and having a look around.
Yeah. So it's like his spirit's jumping out of his head and looking around. Yeah. So that's his description. Yeah.
Sometimes people describe the 360-degree vision. Can you see stuff that people put behind you and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah. Wow. Not all the time. Sometimes it depends on the day. Yeah.
And can you and you have a lot, the games seem to be pretty good with the kids when they get into games and stuff like that. The one I was always impressed with, and I want to see if you can be able to do this. I think the Eastern Europeans had kids playing ping pong. Are you able to do that? Play ping pong with your blindfold on?
Maybe.
You're going to have to try that.
You haven't tried that.
Oh, you haven't tried that?
I'm sure you can do it.
That's what I said would be the ultimate thing. People still wouldn't believe, but I told Rob to do that, that you get two kids playing ping pong in the dark. And he's got his infrared stuff going. And then let's see if people explain what's going on here. I mean,
yeah.
I think the mechanism behind that, too, because of the depth perception. It's like Wendy playing pool.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
like
yeah.
You're reacting, you're responding to something that's coming towards you. You can't tell how close it is, even in the dark. But the dark or the light, there's that reaction time because you're trying to navigate where that object actually is placed.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit, that again, if you did that over and over and over and over again, you'd be quite adept at it. If that was the motivation, you know, if you wanted to do that. I know when the kids are really active with play because they're happy, because they're having a good time, and we focus on the heart space connection all the time. We sing, we dance, we do all sorts of things. Music and we just have so much fun, you know, to the point of hysteria. Their vision stays locked in because they're being stimulated. Kids, they need to be stimulated anyway to keep their focus. So, you know,
even adults, the more they're laughing, the more fun they're having, the more it opens right up. Yeah,
and keeping it simple too, because adults complicate everything. We've got this internal library set up where we've sectioned off everything. And we think we have to, because we've been programmed by the main schooling system and life in general, that you have to start at A to get to Z. You cannot possibly get to Z without starting from A, B, C, D. So we've got that program. So that's why it takes us longer. Oh, I couldn't do it straight away. I'll have to do this first. Whereas kids haven't got that programming.
Yeah, and the kids,
the younger kids.
Yeah. If the kids don't have the doubt like adults. Adults doubt. It takes a lot even to make adults believe, even to start. Yeah.
Because we have that internal mechanism set up in our brain that how could we possibly get to here straight away? Because we have to start from the beginning. Where kids don't, they just, you tell them they can do it, so they go, okay then. And they do it.
So how long did you have the mask on, Steph, before you drove the car?
Not long.
No?
No, not
long. He was enthusiastic.
I bet.
And Morna sat in the car and put his blindfold down and said, hurry up, Granny, and get in the car.
Yeah, that was impressive. Let me ask you about the hearing thing, because you know my assistant is deaf. So tell me a story about hearing, Seth, where your hearing seemed to be better than it normally is. Tell me some of the stuff you can sort of hear.
Well, sometimes you can, like, if you focus on one noise out in the background, it, like, becomes really loud.
Okay. Wow. And is that the same sort of principle, do you think? Is it the same thing going on? This, you sort of, like, consciousness is doing the hearing instead of the ears?
Okay. Yeah. Well, sort of, yeah.
Yeah. That's the intention again. The intention again. If you want to hear something, you're pulling your attention to that, focusing on that,
mm-hmm.
and it's like the hearing aids that they have, how they can compress sound, or they can deaden the background, or they can amplify certain frequency. Mm-hmm. I think the same mechanism's taking place on that level as well. That's my opinion.
Okay. Another friend was teaching kids, and he said that one of the kids said he heard a car crash. And he found out later that during his training, there was a car crash like three blocks away. Wow. Nobody else heard it, but the children that were being trained did hear it and told him. So,
have you had any that you can think of that you can give as an example? You don't have to. It's okay.
Let me ask you about your sister. Your sister's doing this. Are she better than you, or do you have competitions? You're supposed to fight with your sister. Come on, that's what you're supposed to do.
Oh, that happens. Non-stop. Yeah. Yeah. So there's a bit of competition there, but I'm counting on that because I want her to train more.
Wow. And what kind of reading can you do? Your grandma showed me some paper that you can read. Like, what kind of reading can you do if you focus in on it and concentrate? What are you able to do? How good can you read in terms of print and books and stuff? Can you do that kind of stuff?
Do you want to read something?
I'll try it out.
This? Would you like him to read this?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's give a page. Wendy, give us a page, a certain page, a number.
Okay, how about page 10?
Page 10, okay.
Page 10.
I'm really impressed, Seth. Let me tell you, I'm really impressed with this. You don't have to worry. I'm cool with this.
Okay. This is a page.
Oh, well, maybe go to another one. That's good.
Oh, no, that's okay.
That's okay. Okay.
Okay. It's the one next to it.
Okay.
Okay.
This is George Bird and Harold Hatcham. George is a kid on the left with the tie and the flat top. Harold is the one on the right with the t-shirt and the bad haircut. Remember that now.
What's the sign say?
Please wash your hands after using the toilets.
Yay!
So that's it there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I tell you, Seth, yeah. I mean, this is one of the best interviews I've ever done. You're really impressive. And you're the leader. Do you know that you're the leading edge of something that is maybe a pretty big story someday? And you're one of the few first people that's working on it. So I hope you keep practicing at this.
Yeah.
Because you probably heard there's some big name people who are starting to look at this. And this changes everything. Most people think, the old school that you can only see with your eyes and hear with your ears. This mm-hmm. changes everything. It sort of flips the world upside down.
Yes.
And it sort of indicates that most of the stuff we believe is not true, that you're mm-hmm. showing us what we call an anomaly. And the anomaly would lead us to some new truth about how the world works. And so I'm really honored. That's impressive. I mean, you didn't miss anything. So
And what I liked is when he was driving the car afterwards, when he took the mask off and he was explaining what was going on. I thought that was very cool. Yeah. Well done, Seth.
Wow. You reminded me of this. You reminded me of this, Wendy, the other day, that I should mention the fact that people ask why do this? Why train with this? What's the point?
Yeah.
And the point is to heighten intuition and knowing and to navigate. Know in the morning whether you should go to a certain place mm-hmm. and trust in yourself. If we all have that knowing, we all have that instinct, but most people don't trust that instinct.
Yeah.
But this is training the kids to hone in on that. Mm-hmm. And a good example with both the children just not long ago was
their
grandfather had issues with his machinery. I mean, we've all done this in the past, but this was significant. He had issues with his bobcat. And he asked the kids to come over and use their sight and see where the problem might lie within the engine. And before Layla even left the seat, she said, it's a fuel leak. Like, And Seth said, I can see a hose, I can see the diameter, I can see issues around that. So they went over to the machine then and they located the points that were Ingo had to actually pull his focus to and see if that was the issue. And it ended up being exactly the issue. And both their information that they gave was actually a part of the problem. So that's a really good example of how you apply this. It's not, again, it's not just about seeing through the blindfold. It hones all that skill set. Wow. It opens the mind up to all, you know, so many different possibilities.
Yeah. As soon as you asked them to do that, they thought you saw it, didn't you, Seth? You saw the pipe and everything. Yeah. So you basically sent yourself over there and looked for it for
exactly.
And yeah, saw it. Exactly. Yeah. And so that's the part of it also. And once you're trained to do that, you can do that. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the application.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Very cool.
It's, you know, limitless.
Wow.
It's amazing.
So make sure you document some of your stuff you're doing, Seth. You can send me, you get a bunch of videos where you're playing with a knife or you're doing stuff like this or impressive stuff. Give it to me. I'll put it on my YouTube channel and we'll send it to the big people. We know some big people that are researching this and we'll send it. And you may get contacted by one of them because they're trying to figure out what's going on as well. Mm-hmm. And I'm really, really, really impressed with this. You're sort of on a leading edge of stuff. Tell us about your YouTube channel. Let me promote your YouTube channel. What do you do on your YouTube channel? And you just started just now?
Yeah, sort of. But it's mainly just all about these animals in the forest that we live next to.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And what do you do? What do you do on the channel?
Go look for them.
So, yeah. So he hunts snakes.
There you go. So will you give me the name of your channel so we can promote it.
I think I changed it.
Uh-oh. he can read the book, but he can't remember the name of his YouTube channel.
Is it Forest Animals?
Yeah, Forest Creatures.
Forest Creatures. That's
creatures of the forest.
Okay, so we'll put that in the show notes.
The forest.
For people to go and check this out.
And he'll be putting blindfold the stuff on there as well now.
Yeah, he's got to be doing the one where he's playing video games. I have one of those, but you're in your pajamas, so I didn't post it. But we need you to do another.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, wow. A bit of archery and stuff like that.
A bit of they have an archery.
Set up
a target, so they'll be doing.
I haven't seen that.
Him and his dad. Now this will motivate his dad to train as well. Now,
Have you? Can you see with the blindfold?
Not yet.
They're both. Mum and dad are so busy, and that's not an excuse. It's something that you know that hasn't stepped in yet. But
you should tell him what he does. It's pretty incredible. What Jai does too.
Yeah.
He makes jewelry.
Jai makes jewelry from cutlery. Yeah. And he's a musician.
Yeah.
Quite an accomplished musician.
He's an artist.
We're all artists.
Yeah. And so we're quite busy at the moment because I'm building our house.
Yes, they're building the house.
But it's in an awesome spot. We're out in the forest and Seth can look around for all these creatures and stuff right in the backyard. It's pretty amazing. He's lucky.
Yeah.
would you like an example of the didgeridoo?
Yes, absolutely. You can't leave Australia.
Did you want to do it, Jai, or you want Seth? Seth can do it?
Yes. Okay.
This is what he does busking at the local market where his dad was selling his artworks.
Wow. We need to see some artwork, too. I do a whole series on experiencers and art. I think we did five or six interviews with different people and panels and stuff. So,
Leonie's art is unbelievable.
Okay, we need to see some art before we go.
She actually makes earrings out of her orbs. I made a request.
We got.
Let's
put a didgeridoo and ask switches. About orbs. Let's get a didgeridoo thing going.
Orb earrings. Okay, go.
Go.
Ha ha ha.
That's me.
Wow. That's very cool.
That's very cool.
So, to tell me about the art, because we were big into art. You probably haven't got it lined up there, but
No, I sectioned an actual depiction of an that's a long story. An apparition, a gigantic orb that I captured next to where I teach the children. We call it the little pool house down here.
Okay.
And it has a holographic image in it. So I only paint what comes to me. So I have got a lot of paintings. I've got a lot of statues and things. It's sort of an all-rounded thing. We put our talents to a lot of things. Jai's into sculpture and construction and like painting. And Seth's, this is one of Jai's bracelets.
Wow. That's impressive.
And Seth's a budding little artist and has quite a few sketches happening. So general, across the board, we're just very creative on all sorts of levels, especially what Jai's doing now and constructive, turning a massive shed into a beautiful home. It's not a conventional by any means, and it's just a living work of art, basically.
Yeah, I'm a bit fussy.
But we're driven. You're driven, and if you don't do it, you actually lose your energy. Like, you honestly, if you don't have some sort of creative outlet, I think more the point, it's like you have to do it. It's not like you want to do it or you like to do it, so you have to do it. It's connected up. Your energetic system demands it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you go crazy.
You go crazy if you don't.
So tell me about orbs. I also did a series on orbs. So tell me what you think about orbs. What are orbs? What do they represent?
Well, I know with my experience, I just started snapping away. I was doing night photography, and I noticed the orbs. This was about 10 years ago. Then I noticed I could see a set of eyes in one of the orbs. So that spun my curiosity. And I always felt instinctively to go out to certain areas, and I know other people say the same thing. I pulled out to a certain space, and I just start snapping away. I actually sent you the big red one that, there was a series of five shots. It was a huge red orb, and it was manifesting into a gigantic face. Anyway,
you sent it to me?
I sent it to you. That was a while ago.
Oh, okay. I'm going to look for it.
I was fascinated about that.
Because the big red ones are, that's the thing most people don't realize. The red ones are big, giant ones. Every time someone describes the big red ones, they're...
Oh, this was massive. This would have been easily my height, you know, and it was huge. It was very close to me.
You know, I got Wendy into orbs, right? I got her, we got her go with the camera, and she was running around with orb photographs.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have one where there was orbs all over you. Remember?
Yeah. But I tell you something that is interesting that I learned through the process of capturing these images. And I have to say, a lot of the amazing stuff that I do, the really big stuff that I capture, is around the children. Mm. But I worked out after a while, and I know you're an artist as well, Grant, that I was observing these images, and a lot of them were quite large. They would have been our 2 meters in circumference round.
Yeah.
And they had... inside were like holographic images, and they looked like drawings to me, very 2D flat drawings. I said, what am I seeing here? And a lot of them were children's faces with really big eyes. There's all sorts of things going on, but I'm thinking, why is this presenting as like an illustration? And I'm thinking, and I'd get another one, and I'd get another one, same thing. It always looked like an illustration to me. So what am I actually seeing? And I finally worked out that it's the information. They're tapping into your consciousness, and they're accessing your internal information and presenting the way you would present anyway. And we had one occasion where the children were inside watching a movie about mice.
Yeah.
And I went outside because I can't remember why. I went outside and I took some shots. And I found in this one orb an obvious mouse.
Yeah. Wow. So there was you sent that one to me. I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they were communicating. They're teaching me about consciousness and the connection that way. they're teaching me, this is why, you know, we're communicating this way to show you that we're tapping in on a consciousness level. And then another one, I was questioning why the flash, why do we need the flash? So then I was telepathically told to go in and take a photo of the TV screen, which was off. So I went inside and took a photo of the screen and examined the shot. And to the far left of the screen, you can make out a male face with big black glasses. And they're more or less telling me that because we have limited perception, we can't see the whole light spectrum. We can only see part of it. Using the flash enables the contact and the communication on a communicative level to for them to appear on the camera so that yeah, I'm struggling, Wendy. So that, so that like they're using the light spectrum from the flash so that I can see them on the camera in real time.
There was one that had a lion's face on it. I remember that.
Yeah, lion beings.
Yeah.
Greys. There's all sorts of ET turn up. Yeah, yeah. But they're around us all the time anyway. And we've had lots of experiences on that level.
But, tell me about one of your experiences, Seth. Have you had...
Yeah, see, he just went, yeah, they're all around us.
Well, one day I was sitting in Granny's old house. Well, not this house, but... and I looked out the window and I saw Mum walk past to go to the washing line to hang up some washing.
Yeah.
And then I saw some... like a golden human figure walk behind her.
Wow.
Like following her.
And what about, Seth actually has memory of pre-birth.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So can you tell that? That's a good story. Yeah.
Like, it was like you were sitting, like, you know when you look up in the sky and at night and it's all black and black and white stars and everything.
Yeah.
It was like that, and then like some sort of screen in front of you, and then like.
So you remembered? I'm just reminding you. You said you were a little blue ball.
Yeah.
That's the way you described it. So you're a little blue ball of energy, and this is what you were witnessing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I was able to go down, and see like Mum and Dad, and I chose them to be my parents, and then I knew that I was gonna have like a sister. And that's all.
Can you remember how? Well, I remember. He said it took 2 days for him to get down into his mother's stomach. Oh. Well, that was a long time ago. He told his mother this on the way to the shower one evening. Mm. I was watching him walk across, and his mother was going like this to me. And he's yabbling away. She's going, and I thought, well, something's happening. And he's telling her this on the way to the shower. Mum, I remember before I was born, and this is what happened, and I picked you and Dad, and it took me 2 days to get into your tummy.
Isn't that incredible? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
You're amazing, Seth.
I know with the kids, both of them, when they were doing any kind of channeling, which they did often because their experiences were intense when they were much younger, weren't they, Jai? When they'd start to vocalize something and they'd start not talking like a child but talking like an adult and using vocabulary that wasn't something they could use. And
yeah,
and we would all just not move and not breathe because we didn't want to interrupt the flow of that communication that they were getting. And then they would finish and they go, oh, can I have a packet of chips? I'm hungry. Like, we're trying to...
Layla would sit up while she's... And while she's sleeping, she just sit up in bed and just—it's like somebody else's in her body.
Yeah.
Really articulate and well spoken, and but nothing really made much sense what she was saying. So and then she'd just go back to sleep.
Yeah.
Like nothing happened.
So just stepped in. Yeah.
Wow.
But we're all so supportive of each other because we've all had. You know, generationally had all this happening all the time anyway, so it's quite normal for us. It's a normal thing, yeah.
Well, I'm impressed that he mentioned a blue, because if you're familiar with Journey of Souls and all that kind of stuff, the life between lives, That is the second highest color. Purple is the highest, and blue is behind it, and then it goes yellow, and then white. So it shows. So it, if that's true. It shows sort of an advanced state coming in.
He's been told that repeatedly too over the years.
Yeah.
Different people. Yeah.
Wow.
And so all he wants is a snake.
So I see you as kind of a special person I'd like to know, and that you're leading the thing. What do you see it? Do you think you're just an ordinary kid, or, and you just or how do you see it? Do you see yourself as sort of having some talent that, you know, other people don't have?
Well, everyone's got it. They just don't know how to use it. And I feel special.
Are you able to teach your friends? What do your friends think? Are you able to show them how this works? And have any of them been able to do it? Or do they not even know?
Most of my friends don't know about it at all.
Yeah.
And like my friends that Granny teaches, I think they will be able. They're able to see now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're another couple of kids that have had experiences, and we've hooked up with them, with Seth, and they're good friends now. I think, Jai, you should say something about how Seth affects other children.
Oh, yeah, there's a real ability to sense what they're feeling, and he'll just go up and change the situation without even knowing. Like, he just
his presence.
Yeah, he just calms them down. If they're really worked up or anything like that, he knows, and he goes and
just his energy,
shifts
his energy.
The whole situation without even knowing.
Yeah, he doesn't know what he does, really.
Pretty special kid.
Yeah,
exactly. He is. We've always known that from the moment he was born.
Wow.
He just affects people. Yeah.
Wow.
Impressive.
So this work is no surprise that this is happening now.
And it's no surprise he loves animals so much.
Yeah.
No surprise. Yeah.
Is there anything you want to try? Is there any sort of grand finale thing that you're going to try to, or maybe I can ask Leonie that question. Is there something that you are trying to get them to do that they haven't been able to do in terms of, like to me, the ultimate one is to do stuff in the dark, like play the ping pong or something. Or is there something that you work towards, or is it just getting them to play and pick up stuff and...
Well, they throw balls to each other, and they play games. I think the ultimate to me is the treasure hunt situation, where they've got to read a note and they've got to navigate and look under, like they have to find the note and it'll be hidden, and they have to find the hidden note, and then they have to read it, navigate to the next place.
Wow.
But because I work with spectrum children too.
Yeah. What do you mean by spectrum children?
Oh, well, they're autism. They have all sorts of insecurities. Because they're hypersensitive, a lot of them don't even like their blindfold on, so there's a method to get them to feel safe with the blindfold on. It's oversensory. They don't like being touched because there's too much energy present. They don't, like, even their parents can't hold them and hug them for long. My son was one of them, because there's too much energy there and they can't cope, because they're just so hypersensitive. They can't deal with that extra stimulation. It's overstimulation. So with my kids, I read them every day. When they come in, I've got the ability to step into their blueprint and sense them also. And I go with that as intuitive on my behalf as well. But I let them dictate things like that too. What would you like to do? Give them control over it. But I don't know. We could work out some. I don't know about anything extra.
Yeah. Have you seen the one that's done in Utah? There's a sort of a martial arts thing where they've got the kids where they have the obstacle course. Have you seen that one? That's pretty. Where they're counting money and stuff like that, and throwing bean bags and then reading something on a board.
I do all that with the kids as well.
Oh, yeah.
We're learning telekinesis now. We're doing telekinesis as well.
Tell me about that. Can you actually do that? Because if you know, the CIA was doing this with the kids in China in 1982, 83. They're over there, and that's what the kids were doing. They're reading with blindfolds, and they're also doing the telekinesis. So tell me about that.
Well, we're only just, I'm only just opening them up to the telekinesis because I wanted to be able to do it myself before I actually taught it. And we can, I've always known that it's possible, but I'm doing it now. Yeah. And Seth can do it. Like, we move the pinwheel underneath the glass container.
Okay.
Through our consciousness and connect that way and understanding that process. And it's good for kids because they can physically see something happening too. Yeah. And that stimulates them to want to know more.
How long would that take a kid to learn that? Like, say, how long did it take Seth to learn that ability to move something under a glass?
How long did that take? How many minutes?
Wow.
5 minutes.
That's pretty impressive stuff. That's high level stuff that the government was working on.
Yeah. You're already doing an obstacle course, aren't you, with the noodles? Like a.
Oh, yeah, but see, yeah, it's so easy for them because they can see so well.
I know.
And the challenge is to challenge them. We're going to do more. Seth's keen on doing nighttime work, but it's actually, like I said, we don't live together, so it's when I have them overnight and do what you and Rob did in the dark and do the night vision.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they can run around at night with the blindfolds on, but there's always an element of light there, but it's still quite dark. So they can still run around with the blindfolds on then.
So let me ask you, Seth, can you, like, what do you see in the dark? Do you see, is it dark when you're looking, or can you actually see things in the dark?
You, like, see the silhouette of the objects around you.
Okay.
Like auras, yeah.
So would you say that everything is alive, like everything has an aura? Do all objects have it, or just people?
Like, there's a table, chairs, or everything.
Everything, really.
Wow. That's impressive.
I have one little boy who sees the energetic component of everything. He sees, but he sees the energy of the object, not the actual 3D object.
Yeah.
So that's how he navigates. Wow. Again, it comes back to their own perception of consciousness, what their mechanism they've got set up and how they operate. I don't think it's the same for everyone.
I was wondering how Seth saw, because when I did it in the dark, when I brought out the turquoise cup, I actually saw the turquoise cup, but it was pitch black. And so, did you see like that, Seth?
Well, it took a bit of time to get used to trying to see in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I got a few right. I got some wrong because of the... It's like just new, so you.
Yeah, we haven't done. We've only done like twice. We haven't done a lot of.
It's fascinating to do it in the dark, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah,
it's fun, Seth.
Wow.
She has a lot of fun.
I'm really impressed. I'm honored to have been able to talk to you. I hope we can do it again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can we leave? We'll you give a message to Sinead, because Sinead's going to start doing this. Can you give her a message to tell her make sure you practice a lot?
Yeah.
So we have your email address, Sinead, and we know where you live.
She's a little older, so it may take her a little bit longer to catch on, but she's kind of excited. We did the one with the people in Britain that were doing it, and she got pretty excited there. But we've sort of been on the leading edge, and I've reminded, as I would with you, is that I think you have to realize that, you know, you could have been sort of an untouchable in the streets of Calcutta and spend your days in a junkyard looking for something valuable enough to sell for food. You got to play in this big, I call it the Super Bowl. You're in this game where you're on the leading edge of understanding how the world works. And I hope you appreciate the fact that you've got to play this, because I think this is very important what you're doing. I hope you just keep going, especially with Leona, with the kids, that you keep the training, and same with Wendy. I'm just so amazed and so impressed that I'll do whatever I can to promote this, whatever you need to send along, and let's get the people that should be working on this, and hopefully we can change the world.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're changing the world just by talking about it too, like just putting it out there. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we got when we started the Facebook group. It's like, what did we do, you know, when we first started it up? But it's starting to take off, and it's kind of like, well, you know, we can't train everybody, but Leonie's the one that said to me, she says, but we're getting it out there. People are going, hey, what is this?
It's no. like, what is it, the 100th? Is it the 100th?
100th monkey yeah.
syndrome?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the concept around that. Yeah.
Yeah. There's people coming in making negative remarks, but at least they're going, hey, what is this?
Yeah.
And they're trying to, and even though they do the negative remark, it's kind of like you're making them think about what that is. And they see that there is a possibility and maybe they'll just move a little bit further. Yeah.
I think too, once it's out there like that, it sets up synchronicity mm-hmm. for them because they've opened their consciousness to that information, and it sets up synchronicity that appeals to their own truth.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's proof to them because it'll present in a way that they'll understand.
Yeah.
So on a subtle level, I feel, that's just my opinion, I feel that's the way the mechanism works.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's the idea of raising consciousness, the 100th monkey thing, where people keep talking about it, and then you get the thing where the New York Times does the article on UFOs, and everybody goes, yeah, I knew that already. And that's what we're doing, is we're putting it out there, and I don't think we're any different than any other social or political movement, whether it's gay rights or African-American rights or whatever, but they didn't have an easy go of it either. They had to keep talking about it, and there's a lot of bad movies and a lot of bad jokes made about them and criticism, and in the end, everybody just said, hey, that's okay. I mean, the world moves slowly, and we can only do what we can with what we've got, and I appreciate the fact that you're doing as much as you can with what you've got, that you realize this is significant, and whatever I can do to promote it, I will do it, and send me some videos, and we'll keep pushing it. And as I can tell you, I don't know if you know, but there are some significant people who are now looking at this. It's being taken seriously by some people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's thanks to
that's
people.
Great.
That is awesome.
That's great. Well, we'll be more proactive now. Like I said, it's been more in Sheila because we've been just working within the family.
And you did a perfect, 100%. You got it. You didn't make any mistakes. That's good. And I can assure you, Wendy, we can swear, Wendy, correct, that we didn't cut anything out of the video?
No, we didn't. No, we didn't cut anything. Didn't cut anything. even Layla in the back going, you gotta hit a tree. I left it all in. We're gonna die.
So maybe we should do another one with the bandages.
Yeah, you should actually do another one with the bandages. Both show putting them all on and stuff, and then go up and do that. There's a challenge, Steph.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll put this one out and see what the reaction is, and we'll put it to the people who are seriously looking at this, and then we'll do another show. How about that, Seth?
Yeah.
You can do some practice. Okay. Figure some neat trick you can do, especially if you do the one with the knife. Take your grandma's hand.
I'll send you that one, I'll send you that one, Grant. But I can't. You can't publish it because the one person doesn't want the other person on there. But I'll send it to you because it's actually quite funny.
We can do it with grandma's hand. We'll put grandma's hand in it with grandma's hand.
Okay. wait, what? I have complete faith in my grandson. Yeah.
Can I use a sharp knife?
He wants to use a sharp knife. Isn't he lovely?
Yeah, they did that one. If you saw the one, they did that in the Utah film. If you've seen the Utah film where the instructor puts the apple on his head or puts something on his head and the kids are shooting it with this gun, this sort of a Nerf ball gun thing where they're shooting the apple off the guy's head. I mean, that's pretty impressive stuff. Where you take
Rob and I put his hand up for that.
Yeah, Rob and I did that. We got a Nerf gun and we're practicing. And the funny part about it is we were practicing hitting the orange cones with the Nerf gun.
Yeah.
And you had to locate the orange cone, and then you had to do you had to get the perception to try to find it. But we got pretty good at it.
Hard to do that. Yeah,
it is very hard. Yeah.
Wow. Once again, I'm impressed. I'm going to add the for this video. We did one yesterday, an interview with Robin and Wendy, and today we're going to do this one, and I'm going to add the basketball thing to the end of this video. So keep sending me stuff, and let's do another show real soon. And once again, thank you so much for what you do. You've got big fans here in Canada, and I'm sure you're going to have fans all over the world. So keep practicing. Yeah. Keep it up.
Well done, Seth.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
That's this week's episode of the Paranormal UFO Consciousness Podcast. I'm your host, Grant Cameron, hoping that you will join me for upcoming episodes. Links to my YouTube interviews, books, and my Facebook sites are in the show notes. If you love the podcast or learn something valuable, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate, or give a review on today's episode. If you would like a certain paranormal subject dealt with in the future, please let us know. Until next time, watch this space, and thank you so much for listening.